Wisdom, let it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. In a conversation with someone recently about God and how God operates in our life, this person mentioned that he thought that God was very aloof and not very present, and that God essentially, if you think of what deists taught, that God was the cosmic watchmaker. He sets the clock going and it just keeps going, you know, and he's not there. It's not really personal. He's not really all that involved in our lives. And it's up to us to find God's will and to fill it. But in the end, it's very subjective as to whether we're actually doing that and how involved he is. And this conversation is one thing, but you know, there is a general idea of that societally. God is an aloof God, and some of this comes from people's experiences. The experience of being in a traumatic place and praying and not having their prayers answered, or not feeling any connection, asking for deliverance and not feeling delivered. You know, how many people have cried out in the pain of their life experience, only to hear and experience a deafening silence. And so some of this philosophy is born out of that. It's born out of this idea, well, if God could answer, he would. Almost in defense of him. Well, obviously, he's not that type of God. But it's also this idea of God is also born out of it is easy. It eases some of the pain in our lives. For instance, it is easier to think of a transcendent God, a God who lives up in the clouds and is distant from us, because a transcendent God most often doesn't require much of us, and he doesn't know us, and we don't need to know him. And so many Christians emphasize the transcendence of God, and because they want to live moral lives and they want to be good people, and they don't necessarily want to encounter the living God as much as they want to acknowledge that he exists and that he created the world, and that if I believe in this philosophical system that's associated with this God and I live a good life, that I'll be saved. There's no person in this vision of God. God is very, as being transcended, is aloof, and we can let him off the hook when he doesn't answer prayers. After all, he doesn't have to. He's there. He's bigger than this, you know. Now, today we celebrate the Feast of Transfiguration, and the apostles, the three apostles that climbed the mountain with Jesus, had a different experience of God. They had the experience of walking up the hill with a man whom they didn't quite understand, to having a revelation of a very personal and profound God, something that was absolutely undeniable for them. Now, if you think about it, in the epistle, Peter mentions that they did not fabricate fantastic stories, but they reported what they had seen with their eyes. How important it was that they actually witnessed this. And I imagine throughout Peter, John, and James's life that they recalled this experience, this direct experience with the personal God who showed himself forth as light, who showed himself in the cloud, and as a voice. And of course, all of these harken back to the very same visions that Moses had. Because Moses entered the darkness of the cloud. He saw the light and he heard the voice. And this revelation, though, was so personally profound as to be undeniable. There is no way that the Apostle Peter and those, James and John with him, could deny the reality of what they've seen, they couldn't be aloof about it. And what did it cause them to do? It says they fell on their faces for fear. It says that in the presence of God, revealing himself, that they hid. That was so powerful that they weren't upright anymore, that they felt that Peter starts babbling and talking about building tabernacles because it's beyond him. It's beyond his capability to comprehend, to put it into context. We can imagine that the disciples were changed in their very core this day. That is a very different vision of who God is. The God who, number one, is personal. If God is personal, that means that we are to relate to him somehow, personally. Spiritually, to relate to him personally. And if God is not aloof and he is as imminent as he is presented today, then that means that he is demanding something for us, from us. If Jesus Christ is, as he revealed and he gives his commandments in the Gospels to these very same apostles, then it is clear that Jesus is God and that the gospel commandments are the requirement. That it is no longer good enough to simply be moral or to simply go through the motions, but that in actuality, somehow we are to encounter the living God. Now, there are different levels of Christians in our day and age, and just to point out, we have read a story today that is in the past. The Transfiguration happened a long time ago, and if you believe it happened, good for you. Maybe you believe it because of the authority of the Scriptures or the authority of the apostles or because your parents told you you should believe it. That's okay. You believe it and good for you. But it's a different thing to believe it because it's been reported to you and to believe it because you've experienced the living God in a similar way. If you have ever had an undeniable encounter with God, it changes you. And it changes you in a way where you can identify with what the apostles experienced today. You see, this is the thing. It's not about just worshiping the past and honoring what had happened. It's about the fact that we are allowed and able to encounter these sort of things even in our day. That Christians do indeed see the light, that they are illumined, that they encounter Jesus Christ, the living God, that they actually can hear God, the voice, that they can enter into the cloud. Now, maybe you don't believe that, and maybe you haven't experienced that, but that's ultimately the point of celebrating the feast, is so that we'll know that it is possible and that we would pray that God would somehow reveal himself to us, that we would see his light, that we would be honored and given that honor of falling down before him in such a way as the apostles did. Now, if we have such an experience, we will never be able to deny Christ. I mean, maybe like Peter did, we'll be able to deny him because he was very weak. But we will never be able to look back and say, in some sort of simplicity, that it's all a fabricated faith system religion meant to make us moral. When you encounter the living God, that's what everything becomes about. And that's what we see in the lives of the apostles. May God grant us the grace to see such a vision. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.